Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. My name is Brent Russett. I'm the senior pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church. And it's my pleasure to look at some of life's challenges and then to bring you some good news in the morning. I am glad you turned your dial to CFRA. I want you to know that you can also find Good News in the Morning on the internet at goodnewsinthemorning.ca. There you can keep up to date with what's happening around Good News Christian Ministries. You can also find a copy of this program or past programs as well. This morning, I want to give you a grand view of what it means to be a Christian. And to do this, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture found in the New Testament book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 says this, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have against each other. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." You know, 30 years ago, I would have looked at this passage much different than I'm going to look at it this morning. Let me give you the 30-second version of the sermon I would have preached 30 years ago. I would have said, "Friends, we hear the words of Scripture. We are to be clothed and compassionate. As we enter this new week, let us seek to be more compassionate. We are clothed to be with kindness. Let us look for opportunities to live that out and be kind. We are to be clothed with humility. As we enter into this new week, let us watch our attitude. And we are to be clothed with gentleness and patience. With our kids, with our friends, let us try to be truly gentle and patient. Instead of harshness, we'll practice patience and we'll try to be more loving, because love is what we're called to do." Those are the kind of sermons that I grew up hearing. Those are the kind of sermons that I preached when I started out in ministry. And there is certainly nothing wrong with trying to be more loving. It certainly beats living in an unkind way or an unloving way. But as I've tried to live that way, I found myself, well, it's been less than satisfying. I found myself thinking, you know, it's like living like the Lion Clubs or the Rotarian Clubs members would live, and there's nothing wrong with that. The Lion Club and the Rotarian, they do great things. But it seems to me that as I read the gospel is more than just trying to be good. Anyone can do that. The gospel is about transformation on the inside, and none of us can do that. The gospel is not about trying to be more loving. It is about having more love to give. The gospel is not about trying to be kind. It is having kindness hardwired on the inside so that when we have the opportunity, kindness comes out. The gospel is about being changed in the inside. I don't know about you, but I found that when I try to be more loving or more kind or have a better attitude, it works for a while. But then I run into all kinds of glitches. On days where life is good and it's easier to do those kind of things. When life gets harder, it's more difficult. I was trying to live in a way that wasn't me, trying all the time to convince myself that this was me and trying to be better and better, and it didn't work. This morning, I want to paint for you another picture of what it means to be a Christian. Our passage of Scripture gives us two ways of trying to live the Christian life. There is the religious way, and there is the Jesus way. If you would, there's two kinds of operating systems that you can try to live a good life with. My wife has an Apple computer. I have a Windows computer. Here's what we've found. You can run products that were really designed for Windows on an Apple, but it's often glitchy. And you can run products that are really designed for an Apple on Windows, but they work a whole lot better on Apple. There are two different ways to approach the Christian life. There is the religious operating system, and there's the Jesus operating system. When you overlay programs from one operating system on the other operating system, it doesn't work all that well. The program that we are called to run in our hearts is what we read before. We're called to clothe ourselves with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience, to bear with one another and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love. But the question is, what is the operating system that will allow us to run these things well? How do we do this? Before we consider that, I want us to listen to the Millennial Worship Team as they sing, Be Magnified.
I have made you too small in my eyes, oh Lord. Forgive me, and I have believed in a lie that you were unable. See my wrong, heal my heart and show yourself strong, and in my eyes and with my song, oh Lord, be magnified, oh Lord, be magnified.
Sing it with us. Be magnified.
Be magnified, oh Lord.
Yes.
You are highly exalted, and there is nothing you can do. Oh Lord, my eyes are on you.
Welcome back. Come with me to Colossians chapter 2, starting to read in verse 20. It says this, since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These are all destined to perish with youths because they are based on human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have the appearance of wisdom, with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. The people of Colossae were very religious. I find that most people are religious. They may have nothing to do with organized religion, but whether shopping or sports or work or family, they have their religion and they worship it. And they have their own homespun philosophies, and they act in a way that makes them seem to a good person, like a good person to themselves. The people of Colossae, they were religious people. They were trying to be good. They were trying to get to God. They were trying to be all that they could be. And there were all sorts of people who would tell them how to do it. There were people who would actually say to them, if you would just celebrate the right festivals and do the right rituals, if you would just do all the right religious stuff, then that'll make you a good person. There were others who were saying, listen, religion isn't supposed to be easy. You have to really work at it. And if you're going to be truly good, then you're going to have to beat your body and you're going to have to punish your body, and that'll make you truly spiritual. Like Christians at Colossae, there have been a number of Christians who have followed them, who bought into that kind of stuff. There were some who whipped themselves with birch twigs, some who made hair shirts that made them itchy all the time, as if that would in some way improve their spirituality. Many of these people lived extremely austere lifestyles, believing that if they shunned any form of pleasure, that they would truly become spiritual. They believed that these things prepared their hearts and their minds for transformation. But the Bible says, verse 20 of Colossians chapter 2, since you have died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These are all destined to perish with use because they are based on human commands and teaching. Such regulations indeed have the appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. These things may appear wise to some, but Paul says that they don't transform the heart. Paul says these things don't help, but we try anyways. So what do you do when you want to be more loving or more kind or patient? What do you do when you want to avoid sexual immorality or lust, or if you want to try to be a better person? Well, we try harder. We come up with strategies. We come up with an attack plan, and we work really hard. Read a study on New Year's resolutions that only about 5% of them were really kept. The success rate doesn't matter because we all try to say, we're going to be better, we're going to do it, we want to be better, we're going to try harder. But Paul says, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. Such regulations indeed have the appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. This is the religious model, or the religious operating system, if you would. Let's try harder. Let's work harder. Let's be better. And you know, sometimes it works. I know some religious people who are really nice people. But what I found is when I've tried to operate out of here, it's really glitchy. It has a way of working for a little bit of time, but it's not how we're designed to live. And it's tiring to live this way. It's really tiring to live this way. So let's go back and look at where the Jesus operating system might be. Colossians chapter 2, verse 20. Since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. If you're a Christian, you have died with Christ. You have also been raised with Christ. This is not something you have to try to do. This is what it means to be a Christian. When you became a Christian, something died in you and you were born again. You were raised with Christ. Or as Paul puts it in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. I do not no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. As Christians, there's something fundamentally different at your core. The Bible says that you are a new creation. The Bible says that you have become a temple for the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that you have become the dwelling place of the Spirit of God. If you are a Christian, then that is your current reality. If this is not your current reality, then you're not a Christian. I'm not saying that you somehow feel different, because feelings are not your ultimate reality. You sometimes feel what's going on in your spirit, but not always. I'm not saying that you somehow think differently, although Christ will influence how you think. But I am saying that at the core of who You are fundamentally different. Christ has done a work in you. Christ is in you. And Paul says, this is your reality. So why are you trying to be religious like everyone else? They are back at the basic principles. Basic principles say that if you exert your will on reality, and it changes your reality. You choose, and you back up those choices by actions, and things happen. And this is true. This is how the world operates. You can run your religious life off that. This as well. Choose, execute, change your reality. The problem is that many of you have noticed there's a limit to how well we can do this. Paul says, I want you to run on a different operating system. I want you to know what it really means to live with Jesus inside you. Here's how you go about it. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Let's work backwards with these verses. You died and you have a new life. The new life is hidden with Christ in God. If you want to think about it this way, you are in Christ. Christ is in the Trinity. There's a wonderful conversation going on between the Father and the Son and the Spirit, and you are in Christ, and you are in this conversation. There is a synchronization of movements, and you're among them. As a Christian, your life is now hidden with Christ. That is where you are. Have you ever been someplace and you wanted to be someplace else? When that happens, you don't get much out of where you are, nor are you able to get much out of where you want to be. I have this maxim that I try to live by. Wherever you are, be all there. Your reality as a Christian is that your life is hidden with Christ in God. Paul is essentially saying, be all there. Be where you are. He's saying, since you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. Be where you are. Be where Christ is. Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your heart with Christ in heaven. Now, some of you are going to have a challenge living like this because you've got a skewed vision of heaven. You think that heaven is about clouds and harps and church services that last for eternity. If that's heaven, I don't think either you or I want to go there. This is why Jesus spent so much time teaching about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, as the book of Matthew calls it. Heaven is heaven because God is there, because the character of God permeates the culture. So heaven is full of justice and mercy and goodness and beauty and love and peace and joy and hope and strength and challenge and grace. The list could go on. So when Paul says, set your heart on things above, you get the picture. You are in Christ, and who is in the Trinity, who breathes the atmosphere of heaven. And wherever you are, be all there. Set your heart on Christ, on justice, on mercy, on love, on grace, on beauty. Let your heart love those things. Let your heart be fixed on those things. Let your heart be set on the goodness of what's around you, what's in you, what's in heaven. Let your heart, let your minds be think on these things. In other words, set your affections where Christ is. In other words, take some time to think about who Jesus is and the culture of heaven and love the things that Jesus loves. You've heard it said that some people are so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. But I would say to you that if you apply the culture of heaven to what you read, to what you watch on television, where you work, who you work with, as you choose to set your mind on what is good and loving and just and righteous, you can identify what is not. And that will go a long way towards being who you want to be. See, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the heart is where your behavior comes from. You see, this is a whole new, different operating system than trying to choose the right thing. There's nothing wrong with trying to choose the right thing. It's the basic principle of how the world works. But you have something different going on. Your life is in Christ, and when you function out of that life, then you will truly be who you want to be. Paul then goes on in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, and says this: put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and to put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. When it says put to death, it's saying to deny yourself, your false self, to put to death this false self, because that's not who you really are. See, you've already died. These kind of things aren't really you. Oh, you used to live like that, and some of you are still in the habit of thinking this way, but they're not really you. See, at the core of who you are, your life is hidden with Christ. Rage, slander, impurity are all inconsistent with who you really are. Now, if you are operating out of the old operating system, you're going to work hard not to go to places that you'll be tempted. That's not a bad strategy, but a better strategy is to set your hearts on things above. Set your mind on things above. Let the things you contemplate be good and beautiful and loving and grace-filled and justice and righteousness-oriented. Understand who you really are and then live out of that, declaring anything that is inconsistent with that not to be you. You are going to live an authentic life. Here is the principle. When you focus on what you are trying not to be, you will not get anywhere. When you focus on who you have been made to be, that is what you will become. When you focus on what you are trying not to be, you give what you're trying not to be power. You're giving what you're trying not to be strength. And the more you focus on it, the more energy it gets, and the more you are tempted to move towards that. But when you focus on what you've been made to be, that is what you will become. Because where you set your heart, where you set your mind, where you set your affections, that is where what you become. So Paul says, set your minds on things above. Set your minds on beauty, on grace, on goodness, on love, on truth. In fact, you can see how to renew who you really are. Verse 10 says, and have putting on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of its creator. There are some of you who spend a lot of energy trying to be more kind and more loving, stay away from the wrong things. Instead of focusing on those things, turn your heart towards what is good and true and right. Focus on Jesus. Focus on who he is and what he has done. As you do that, Jesus will put what he has put on the inside, and it will expand to the outside. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, my prayer is that you would give your people the grace to live out the life that you placed in them. I pray, Lord, that you would allow them to have the sense that you are on the inside, and, Lord, that you would allow them to set their hearts in such a way that it will move to the outside. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if Good News in the Morning has been helpful in your faith journey, I would love to hear your story. We would be encouraged by that. Contact us by email or Twitter via the website goodnewsinthemorning.ca. And thank you for listening this morning. This program is on the air by the grace of God and the donations of many faithful people. If you can help financially, we would really appreciate it. You can make a check payable to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG 1WO. Or you can give online by PayPal by going on to goodnewsinthemorning.ca. My prayer is that you may know Jesus personally and profoundly, and that he would expand into every area of your life. We're going to go out by listening to music, All the Way My Savior Leads Me.
All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All out the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread. He gives me
me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. And though my weary steps may falter, and my soul of thirst may be gushing from the rock before me, no spring of joy.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580.